tonight on the Goblin's Corner.
The bad guy gets away.
That's how we roll. 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 That's how we roll.
Welcome to the Goblin's Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
the bad guy gets away, man.
Exactly.
Off into the sunset.
Now, we do a lot of different episodes about a lot of different things, but villains is one that I personally enjoy.
Sure.
And you personally enjoy.
Yeah.
And so we figured tonight this would be an excellent opportunity to teach you guys about awesome ways to have a reoccurring villain in a storyline. And so we've got, what, a couple of examples?
Sure.
How to make this happen.
Just a few.
Just a few, one or two things that we've, you know, just spruced up, dug out of our D&D closet.
And a couple of rules.
It's true. Some rules that you can use to make reoccurring villains part of your campaign, regardless of whatever it is.
Right.
But before we get to that,
we've got a question of the week.
That's right. So lay it on, my brother. What do we have?
So the bad guy's gotten away.
Of course it has.
What's your first response as a player?
To curse wildly and kick the nearest thing. Player character or... I mean, you... This isn't a hard one for me. If the bad guy got away, my player character and myself will most likely be cursing loudly and kicking something.
Now, you know I'm primarily a cleric.
This is true, both in real life and in a character, which is why.
That's fair.
And I guess I play a blaster pretty much in real life. Oh, I don't blast anything in real life. I could, though.
It's true.
It's a good thing I don't.
Also true.
Although traffic would be way different if I could cast Fireball, let me tell you.
Speaking of which.
Or Urban Renewal.
My response is.
To blast something?
100%. I'm 100% going to AOE where that bastard was standing. Just in case.
Oh, just in case he's, he or she, they is invisible or sneaking about.
Yes.
Slowly teleporting or fading it. Yeah. Absolutely. Just. You should. You should flame strike something like that. I love that.
Orbital lasers, something. Depends on the game, but...
So your outburst is not necessarily an explicative, but more of a...
It's not a personal outburst.
It's a somatic, verbal, and material component.
Yes.
Do you cast flame strike, or perhaps you like to curse? Write to us, info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach me, eric@goblinscorner.com, or...
Me. Matt@goblinscorner.com.
And of course, you may find us on all the things.
Indeed.
Like Twitter.
Mostly Twitter.
Mostly Twitter, yeah. Because we're lazy. We don't touch the rest of the stuff. Not always. All right, so let's talk a little bit about reoccurring villains in your campaign.
All right. Well, the first question you have to ask yourself is...
Most important question.
Right. Why should the bad guy get away?
Why should the bad guy get away? We've got a couple of reasons why. Yeah.
Firstly... It's emotional buy-in.
Mm-hmm. So what do we mean by emotional buy-in? Couple of examples. It gives the player characters something to dig in. An emotional investment into your story. Emotional investment into the NPCs or the bad guy, more specifically.
Yeah.
But an emotional investment into maybe giving them a driving need to go and do something, like murder the bad guy.
Yeah. So... If they didn't like the bad guy before,
they're really not going to like the guy now.
There's a guaranteed 30% minimum increase in how much they hate this person.
Absolutely. Additionally, the bad guy getting away can add wonderful story arc tension.
Oh, yeah.
To anything, really. Not just for story arcs, but also for like encounters or the story as a whole. And I'll give a good example. If you know the bad guy is going to go blow up the mountain and level the countryside, and he gets away, guess what?
They are still planning on blowing up the mountain
yes.
and leveling the country.
Yeah, so now you've got an even more incentive to get your ass up to the top of the mountain and meet the bad guy for a showdown. Unless the bad guy is going someplace else, like under the mountain.
That's how I'd do it.
I mean, that's how I would do it, too. Additionally...
We know it's how you do it, because you'd want to have the fight in a lava tube.
Oh, yeah. Big lava-filled caldera, and then I can tear off my face and show the red dragon beneath. Now you shall see my true form. wings burst out of my back and I just shred this mortal coil and show you the glorious reptilian creature that I truly am.
And then throw a fistful of magma at them.
Yeah, fistful of magma in their eye and then burn them to death with my fiery breath.
All right.
It's not like I thought about this or anything.
Nope, not once.
Not once at all.
This is the guy with a giant red dragon figurine over his shoulder.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. All right, so in addition to emotional buy-in and building tension, what else do we have?
It advances the story.
Yeah. It continues on. This gives you beats in a story. And that's something that we talk about often, but I think we don't give it enough love lately, is building story beats so that your players have a record of where they've gone, where they need to go, and where are they currently.
Right.
And finally, it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. Guys, it's fun to make reoccurring villains and piss off your players. It's fun to be a player with a reoccurring villain, because there's nothing better when you finally catch the reoccurring villain and flame strike him.
Yes. And the other side of that is some of the most fun back and forth you can have is a villain that hates the PCs as much as the PCs hate the villain.
Oh, maybe the PCs are reoccurring villains for the NPC.
Sure. If all I'm trying to do is blow up this mountain to destroy the countryside, and these hapless sons of bitches just keep rolling up and destroying my plans, I hate them.
Or even like, what if, and we're going a little meta here, but like, what if your player characters are reoccurring villains for the NPC? So you're a humble cabbage seller, your cabbage wagon, sure, just rolling through all cabbages of the town. Yeah. And these fucking kids wreck your cabbage truck on the regular. Here you are trying to get a hold of the authorities, but you can't because all the earthbenders don't care about your rotten cabbages. What are you going to do about that? See, now you've got what, 4 or 5 reoccurring villains and a damn flying buffalo. And that's how it is.
It bees that way.
Speaking of bees, let's talk about the big bees or the big bads. And there's some differences between reoccurring villains, big bads, and other stuff like overarching villains or monsters of the week. So we've got a couple of qualities that we've made for you, the listener at home, or the watcher, if you're listening to us on YouTube.
Right. So to start off with, we've got big bads.
Mm-hmm. So what's a big bad?
They're villains that directly cause conflict to the heroes. Usually big, but not epic.
Okay. So think mid-level to pre-epic a lot of times. Or oftentimes a big bad is on the same level as the characters that are playing.
Right.
Player characters.
And oftentimes they might be lieutenants and even like possible continuing lieutenants to whoever the overarching villain is.
So we'll use Lord of the Rings as an example. Perhaps what are they called?
Nazguls.
The Nazguls. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Nazguls to Sauron, right? Nazguls are definitely big bads.
Yes.
You don't want to fuck with them.
Nope.
But they're not the biggest bad.
Right.
They're not Sauron. Now, in addition to big bads, we've got overarching villains.
That's your Sauron.
That's Sauron. Yeah, right. So, overarching villains can be a reoccurring villain as well, but they don't have to be. And overarching villains are often on that epic scale, whereas big bads necessarily aren't.
Right. For overarching villains, the sense of them should be reoccurring.
So not necessarily an encounter, but the presence.
Right.
So you've defeated a big bad. Say, we use like a mob boss, right? You've defeated the gangsters and the mob boss. You've, you know, they whipped out all their cyberware, started, you know, guns blazing, but you managed to urban runo the whole place, and you're sitting in the smoking wreckage and you see that shadowy figure escape. That's the big bad, right? Or maybe that's the overarching villain, you know, and he just laughs and sends some more thugs at your way and you have to
fight your way out. You know,
throw a power ball, tell your Decker to duck, or whatnot.
And for the purposes of a D&D Pathfinder type campaign, right?
Mm-hmm.
You defeat a cult of Snurf Garble.
Yeah.
And
for those listening at home, I want a monster, whatever it is visually in your head that a Snurf Garble is.
Sure. Yeah. It's a demon. Yeah.
Of course it is.
So Snurf...
it's pink. It's pink and fuzzy. A Snurf Garble, it has to be.
I believe you.
I kind of see something like... Now, I didn't watch a lot of Sesame Street as a kid. Actually, I didn't watch any Sesame Street as a kid, but sure. I have kids now that watch Sesame Street. What is the thing with the long nose? We're getting off topic.
It's
here.
True.
Yeah.
So anyway, Snurf Garble, like yeah. I was trying to say.
Build us a Snurf Garble. I want to draw that, build it, send it to us. We'll stick it on the show. All right.
Okay. So Snurf Garble is a demon that has multiple cults. You destroy the first cult,
mm-hmm.
but the cult leader's like, you'll never stop us. The Brotherhood is everywhere. Okay. So the whole presence of this demon lord is the continued overarching villain
mm-hmm.
for this. That's where I was going with that.
That makes a lot of...
Before we got way off the rails.
Way off the rails, yeah, with Snurf Garbles and me wanting one drawn. So big bads and overarching villains can be reoccurring. They don't have to be. You can just have a straight up reoccurring villain.
Yeah.
Or you can give them different qualities. Now, in addition to that, you've come up with a third qualification for the reoccurring villain.
I love it. It's so awful.
This is great. And honestly, the way we play, this totally makes sense. The reoccurring social villain. And what do you mean by that?
It's a villain that recurs, but you don't feel murder is the appropriate answer. And in some cases, it absolutely is not the appropriate answer.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you've got your characters start off in their hometown, and there's a shopkeeper there that hates adventurers.
Just hates every single adventure rolls in. His son was killed by adventurers accidentally in this horrible, horrible polymorph accident.
Sure. A shitty mayor.
Oh, we love those kinds. Those kinds of... Yeah. And what are you going to do? Kill the shitty mayor? Then you're going to jail.
Sure.
So you have to use some finesse. If you bring out your bard, make him diplomats.
Oust him.
Yeah, do something. And of course, the one that we hate the most, everybody, the nobleman's son.
Yes.
We hate the nobleman's son.
Snotty little Snotty. Somebody.
Even the paladin, the lawful good paladin hates the nobleman's son.
Just got to choke the life out of
just,
him.
Yeah, and he's got a lawful good god. He still wants to choke the life out of the nobleman's son. So these are some great examples of a social villain. How do you handle reoccurring villains when you can't directly fight them?
You destroy their reputation.
Yeah, you beat them at their own game. And finally, we have what are not we consider reoccurring villains, which we call monsters of the week.
Yeah.
And this can also be NPCs of the week, too. But
sure. And these are recurring events.
Yes.
Versus reoccurring individuals. You could run into a pack of brigands every week for a brigand king, right? The brigand king is out there in the world somewhere. And until you go deal with him, every week, you're going to deal with a pack of his brigands. Every time.
But that's more of an encounter and not necessarily like villains that reoccur.
Right.
So it's not purposeful. It's just there because of more of like environment or a consequence of if that was true, what else is true.
Right. You haven't gone and dealt with this, and therefore, it still exists.
Yeah. So those are the various reoccurring villain types and some that aren't. Now, we've got our reoccurring villain idea in our head. We maybe make an overarching villain, or we make just a straight up big bad that we want to reoccur. How do we make a reoccurring villain? We've got some rules for you.
Yes.
Just a couple, but I consider these to be variously good rules.
I think so. So the first thing you have is you have to set parameters.
Okay. So what do you mean by saying setting parameters?
So you need to know when the bad guy should get away and if they should even get away.
So this is a very important thing to consider because sometimes the players will startle you or surprise you or just straight up outthink you as a storyteller.
Sure.
And honestly, I reward players for creative and inventive uses to mess me up. stump me, great. That's awesome. You get extra XP for that.
Right.
And if you've got a reoccurring villain in mind, you're going to have to, as they say in the improv business, kill your baby.
Yeah.
Take that idea, stick it in a box, save it for later. Put it on a different NPC. Now, let's say that you've decided that the bad guy should get away.
Okay.
Now we're looking at what we call if-then statements. So you need to have a set parameter, as we mentioned before, but what is that criteria for when the bad guy gets away? So if they don't meet the specific criteria, then there's no point for that bad guy to make an exit. And we had, was it the alarm spell example?
Sure. So if you are, if you're the bad guy and you're in your inner sanctum and the heroes have murdered their way through all of your minions,
mm-hmm.
the second your alarm spell for your inner sanctum goes off,
you're bouncing.
Throw them. Yep.
Yeah.
Bye-bye now.
Drop the mic. Peace. And you go through the secret door or whatnot, and then you're gone.
Yeah.
However, if the player characters did not trip the alarm spell, maybe they've got a wizard who detected magic early, or a thief who happened to be able to deactivate the trap because it was maybe a magical trap of some sort.
Maybe they came through the wall.
Then you're still chilling, stuck in your royal bath.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever you're doing, dastardly things, whatever those big bad things happen to be, right? And so he doesn't get away, or maybe he still does get away, but he has to get away in a different way, and there's the potential to not get away.
You're just sitting in your inner sanctum plotting how to substitute raisins for all the chocolate chip cookies in the world.
Yeah, well, that is a dastardly thing indeed. So all of this basically says plan for contingencies for your NPC. Regardless of what happened, whether it's an overarching villain, a big bad, or whatnot, right?
Right.
Or even just, like I said, a social reoccurring villain. These contingencies can be simple, or they can be elegant. They can be elaborate,
Rube Goldbergian.
Yeah. And I would say a good rule of thumb is base the complexity off the intelligence of the creature you're emulating.
Absolutely.
And I'll give an example of that. So let's say you've got just standard enforcer, right? Like a lieutenant. He's going to have some simple contingencies, probably.
I'm going to run out the back door, bar it, and take off.
I'm going to tell my underlings to go fight. I'm going to spray and pray, drop a grenade, bounce, right? Yeah. And that's it. Get in the getaway vehicle and, you know, you'll never get me alive, coppers, and drive off. Now, if you have a mind flayer or some kind of brilliant creature, then you might have wheels within wheels of things, because this happens, the following thing, and then the eclipse of the sun, carry the pi r squared, and so forth. And so they might find various sinister levels of either other underlings, other big bads, even other overarching villains that can be reoccurring within that wheel of the reoccurring villain. You can get very inception level with that.
Sure.
And you should.
Or you could just have the entire roof of the cave be covered in piercers, and if you defeat all of their minions, they just drop literally like 200 piercers on you and walk off.
Now that's a living trap right there. Love it. Everything about that. And this is why, if you haven't learned more about traps, please go listen to our episode Being a Better Bastard by Building Better Traps.
It's true.
And we should really have a part two to that, because I'm sure we could come up with a few more traps.
I just did, accidentally.
There you go. All right. Reoccurring villains all have a backup plan as well. And what do we mean by that? Obviously, it's part of the contingency, but where will the big, bad, evil guy go?
Right.
Where are they going? They're going to escape. Where are they escaping to? Are they going down the street? Are they going cross country? They hop on a plane? They're going to that volcano with the sharks with freaking laser beams? Are they going to another dimension? Who knows?
Right. Could be anything.
Could be anything. What will they do once they leave? Now, this means, will they set other events in motion? Or will they do something before they leave? So, for example, go back to the mind flare, right? The piercer bit. That might be a contingency that jumps into play as well.
Sure.
Now the piercers are dropping, and they're spiking all of the player characters. The paladin's just staked to the floor. The thief has somehow eluded all of them and is standing on top of the piercer on top of the paladin. But Maybe the Mind Flayer's got some other actions.
He's helping the piercer. Maybe he's helping the paladin. It's tough to tell from a distance.
Can't really tell, you know, it shouldn't be lawful good. And maybe now, because most of the PCs are defeated, the Mind Flayer goes, you know what? Bring in the intellect devourers.
Sure. Yep.
Or whatnot. Have those things that the big bad evil guy would do. You don't have to be super elaborate, but have maybe like a bullet point list of a couple actions. If, you know, when they're leaving, on the way to wherever they're going, and maybe when they get there. You don't have to write War and Peace. And again, if this is something that you know that the players might have a very good chance of defeating, and it may not be a reoccurring villain, just ad lib it.
Yep. You have to ask yourself, will the big bad guy get away by themselves, or will they attempt to take people with them?
Oh, that's a good point. Are they bringing minions with them?
Right.
Are they bringing explosive devices? Summoned creatures, undead?
Or even, are they going to leave those type of creatures behind so that they can rescue, like, if this is a crime lieutenant, right? So that they can take their two trusted people with them.
Yeah. And this can determine the stuff that they set in motion as well, because if the bad guy gets away, sets off the nuclear warhead that rockets into the sky, then only Bond, James Bond, can deactivate, then that's a huge thing. If the bad guy gets away with a couple of their lieutenants, guess what? That might happen even faster. So you may have had like a week to catch up. Now you only have a couple days.
Right.
And so that changes it significantly in terms of story and honestly just kind of leaning on the players in terms of like emotional response. So there's a lot of things to consider when you do this.
Also, your chances of turning sergeants that have been rescued by their boss drop drastically.
Yes.
So that's something.
Because if just the bad guy gets away,
then anybody you catch, that asshole threw us to our deaths against these guys. Whatever secrets you want to know, I'll be happy to tell you.
Dude just bounced without anybody? Didn't save anybody?
Yep.
Screw that guy. Yeah, that's a good point. And again, complexity equals intelligence and capability. All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about the bad guy getting away, but first we'll be back
after these messages.
This is a commercial break. If you guys would like to hear us review something like a product or service, or if you'd like us to cover something like a topic,
or if you'd like to sponsor an episode, we'd love to hear from you and have you contact us at info@goblinscorner.com.
So write to us, and maybe we'll talk to you. Maybe not. And we're back.
Welcome back.
So we're talking about bad guys getting away, reoccurring villains in your campaign, and we were just talking about the bad guy getting away.
Sure.
And how they might get away, where they might go, what they might do. And what happens when the PCs realize the bad guy's gotten away? And so we've come to that part.
Right. So, bad guy's gotten away. What now?
Yeah. You've got some options.
Sure.
And now, these are just a couple of options that we've written down, but they kind of follow this standard scenario. So let's talk about a couple of these.
Okay. So you could have a cleanup scene.
What's a cleanup scene?
You're in the nightclub. You got to mop up the rest of the bad guys, like search for clues as to where he may have gone, or try and convince the bad guys to give you information by whatever means you choose.
Sure. So, or you've just defeated the lich. The lich bounces, leaves the minions behind to kind of soften you up. Hopefully, the lich is gone, teleported away. But now you got to clean up all the rest of the undead. Got to fight them. And, sure. Of course, cleanup also involves sifting through the bodies for loot.
Yes.
Because that's important.
Absolutely.
All the time. We also have what is called an aftermath episode. Now, this is very similar to a cleanup episode, but this is somewhat more problematic for the player characters because what this implies is that part of the bad guy's scheme has succeeded.
Yes.
The mountain blew up.
Yeah.
The nuclear warhead has fired from the lava-filled caldera and is threatening to all of North America. The dragon has escaped and it's pissed off and it's tearing through town, or something bad, or just a plague's happened, or they've got that, they finally got one of those pieces of magical artifacts that they need.
Yeah.
Something's happened.
One of the keys to Snurf Garble's chains.
Now, this is an aftermath episode of something where the tension is just keyed up just a little bit more, not too much, but just enough to become very irritating and slightly worrisome for the player characters.
I agree. This next one, I like the concept of after the first or second time the bad guy's gotten away.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is where that emotional buy-in ramps.
Oh, yeah. So what are we talking about here, Matt?
The chase scene.
Yeah. I love chase scene combats. I don't like running the combat as much just because it can be problematic. But if you do it right, chase scenes are fun. Chase scenes are exciting to play and run.
Yeah.
And they just, there's just some emotional appeal about it's just, it's the classics. I mean, that's why we like chase scenes in movies so much.
Right. And that's an important part. If you're going to run a chase scene,
make it cinematic.
Make it cinematic.
Yeah.
And if you're going to run a chase scene, leave enough time in your evening or morning or whenever you play to have a payoff before the end of your session.
Because they're either going to get away or the player character is going to catch them.
Right.
But
make that happen before the end of the session.
Yeah, but you gotta know that this could potentially be long or short. But you gotta have that kind of thought out a little bit in your head, like what's the goal of this chase scene? Now, another option which we also have written down, which is very similar to the chase scene, but slightly more intrigue based, or even I guess more investigative based.
Yes.
The hunt, being on the trail. Now, this means the bad guy's gotten away. You've mopped up whatever's there, but instead of having a direct chase from here to here, like follow that car, you get in there and you start shooting. Now it's like, where did the guy go? You have to find out where the bad guy is.
Sure.
So you're looking for clues.
What was the license plate number?
Yeah, you might have to. You have to get NCIS on the call, right? Get it. Go find. Go get that satellite image so you can zoom and enhance 15 times. Ah, there he is right there. Let's go get that guy. Or cast some scrying, right? To go find that lich. And then you can teleport in the local vicinity. You're going to have to search. Use some of those spells you don't use for direct combat.
Shocking.
It happens sometimes. I'm just saying. And finally, and this is what I consider to be the most common thing after the bad guy gets away.
A side quest or another portion of the story arc.
So the bad guy's gotten away. Most of the time, sometimes the player character's like, well, bad guy got away. Not much we can do about it. We're not going to hunt for the person.
Or don't have the means to.
Let's go to town.
Yep.
let's go buy some shit, right? Or this is kicked off part of the story arc as well, which is just as important.
Yes.
All right. So when the reoccurring villain gets away, and the player characters resume their normal encounter lives, doing whatever the player characters do.
Right.
You know, jacking into the Matrix or roaming around on wild beast, casting spells with wild abandon.
Killing shopkeepers
and, you know, destroying large, large wagons of cabbages. Whatever happens, you need to find a way for that reoccurring villain to get back into their lives.
So you can do that in a lot of ways, honestly. If the villain is hunting them, then you could have that villain pop up when they're in the middle of a battle with something else.
Yeah. Or even that the villain was the point of the battle. Like, he's directing people towards that. And having them in the middle of a battle is a wonderful way to really piss off your characters. And the or up the emotional tension.
Yeah.
It's that damn lich again. Popped right in right after we destroyed that demon, or in the middle of the demon. Now we've got two people to deal with. Now we've got to split our party, and the paladin's dead again.
Banish the demon. We have to murder this lich.
How many times do I have to resurrect this paladin? God, it's costing us a damn fortune.
De Beers sends you freaking Christmas cards.
Yes. Well, uncut or cut diamonds? I can't remember.
Just diamonds? Yep.
All these diamonds. Yeah. The reoccurring villain could also, again, take a more active role in terms of sending mercenaries their way.
Yeah.
Or assassins.
Yes.
And that's always fun. Get into town. They're going to do a little R&R. They're going to buy some stuff, upgrade their loot. They take their armor off to get it upgraded, you know, cause it takes, they can't wear it while it's being upgraded.
Yep.
And that's when the assassins strike with the poison dart, drag them off, time down.
Man, sneak attack plus poison. It's the way to go.
It's a damn thing. Showing up at pivotal points in a story is also another great way to interject a reoccurring villain.
I can see that. It lets them know that character that got away is still in play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first time an NPC gets away, like you said, right? Oh, criminal guy got away. It happens sometimes. It
happens big.
C'est la vie.
Yeah.
Until they show back up.
And then they're like, wait a minute. And then the second time they get away, now it's an irritation. The third time they get away, something's up. And now you're pissed. And if they get away a fourth time, it better be a damn good reason for it.
Yes. Four is definitely the top limit for me, I think.
I know. Well, that's when you start slinging Flame Strike and I start cursing. Being responsible for specific events or evil acts is another great way that you can bring a reoccurring villain into your game, back into the game. And of course, the simple knowledge that they're still doing evil acts, whatever the hell they happen to be doing.
Man, got to get Snurf Garble out of those chains.
You just drop those hints very subtly, or depending upon your players, drop those hints like a lead brick on their head that this person is still trying to summon the Dark Lord.
Yes.
Again. Yeah. Still doing it. It's not hasn't stopped. You just showed up again. You let him get away again. He's still doing it.
Some players you can bread crumb. Others you have to bread loaf.
Can't beat him over the head with a big piece of French bread.
The baguette.
Baguette the guy to death. All right. Additionally, it should probably be noted that you don't want to DM fiat the escape. And what do we mean by that, Matt?
Okay, so basically, unless there's a clear explanation that the PCs can either see or already know,
mm-hmm.
If they have blocked off escape routes, then he should be trapped, or she should be trapped. But if your PCs know that they work for a giant demon, and they almost kill him, and a demon hand reaches out of a portal and just drags them away,
then that makes sense.
That makes sense.
So what we're talking about is two things. Playing the realm of possibility.
Right.
So is it realistic with the setting? And play in the realm of probability. Is it probable for that character? So if it's possible to have a teleport scroll, that's one thing. Is it probable for a level 1 lieutenant to have a teleport scroll? Not so much.
No.
Is it probable for a level 15 mob boss or arch wizard? Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Probably sure. Have spell mimmed, right?
Or the arch wizard just casts it.
Like, you don't have scroll. Teleport mimmed. It's a 15th level wizard. You're doing it wrong.
And the other thing is if you know the person you're after is extremely wealthy, then that also counteracts the probability rule, right? Yeah.
So have a reason for them getting away. Don't be the character that runs 90 miles an hour and cartoon exits. Or, he just got away. Well, how did he get away? He just got away. Yeah. That just pisses off the players.
You ran.
And this is why we say try not to DM fiat it, because letting the bad guy get away is incredibly frustrating for players.
Right.
There's nothing more that is more irritating when you think you have an enemy almost defeated and they bounce.
Right.
So it better be a damn good reason.
If they have done everything they can to prevent that exit, that should pay off for them.
Yes.
Unless there is literally something they don't know about that they've got that's an ace in the hole.
Mm-hmm. Also, and this is, again, we're talking about a lot of dramatic tension. Got to make the escape cinematic. We talked a little bit about cinematic chases. When they get away, we want sights, sounds, all that jazz. Smells, maybe? Who knows?
Sure.
Descriptions are key. So plan for some descriptions. And an example could be anything like, As soon as you walk in the door, the arch lizard, yeah, I said it.
Sure.
An arch lizard. Yeah. I meant arch lich, but that's fine. The arch lizard laughs, flicks a scaly tongue, hits a small wooden statue next to his lizardy scaled throne. The scaled throne just kind of kicks back like a recliner, catapulting him straight up through the ceiling. He escapes into the swamp to do lizard things.
As arch lizards are wont to do.
As arch lizards should. And you know what? We should have an arch lizard.
Sure.
At some point.
We'll work that out.
We'll work that out.
So the other side of that is the PCs have fought their way up through this tower, and the arch lizard is on his throne and throws that same statue, and a trap door that turns into a ramp drops down, and he goes shooting down out of the tower. Well, the PCs have to get down the tower somehow.
Sure.
They could try sliding down, but it could be trapped.
I mean, it's as soon as that throne slides by, the trap kicks up, and now there's nothing but a bunch of spikes.
Spikes pointing upwards.
Yeah, we're in the same level here. He's already got, his throne has wheels, so he's just booking down the road. He's got a little steering wheel on it. It looks like a Lizard King Mario Kart in my head.
Yeah, nice.
That's kind of where my head's going with this. Yeah, so what we're saying is play up. Use all your DM tricks. Be descriptive. Have fun with it. This is a fun thing to describe. This is an irritating thing for people to play, but if it's fun or funny or interesting, then it'll make it more dramatic and more interesting for them as well.
Yep.
And we've mentioned this before, leave breadcrumbs for the players to catch up on the trail so they can either have that chase scene or they can come back and know more about that bad guy. And this can be, even if they can't chase the person directly, this could be, oh, this was the arch lizard. What's an arch lizard? Well, I can roll a knowledge check.
Do some research.
Do some research. Next time you meet the reoccurring villain, now you know a little bit more about arch lizards and their habitat and their proclivity for thrones and traps. I really want to draw an arch lizard now.
Yeah. So, out of curiosity, is your arch lizard innately magical or studied magical?
I would say innately magical. I kind of see like an Anole.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like kind of like a Anole. Like he's got the big, you know, with the snout, kind of just chilling on a recliner like this. And that's really all I got. But it's, but
see,
I'm going to build
me,
on
he's
this.
Definitely got the neck frill.
Oh, yeah, there's a frill.
And he's got
big head ridges.
Yeah.
You're thinking more of like a water dragon or something like that? Like the lizard
like
I had?
Like properly annulled shaped.
Okay.
Though, like skinny and spindlier.
Yeah, just kind of wiry.
But yeah.
Like reclining, like you're reclining on a couch with a remote.
And a really long tail.
Really long tail. Yeah, whip-like tail.
Yep.
I'm down with that. All right.
Okay.
We're diverging off this conversation once again. Now,
are we?
No.
We're getting to...
We're getting to stuff. So think about all of this stuff. And because we're nice people and because it's part of our show, we also have given you sample escapes for your bad guy.
Right. See, we just went over the arch lizard's escape. So
yeah. So you guys, you've got it.
We were foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing this. So what are some simple bad guy escapes? We've got some classics.
Sure.
First one we've already said, secret door escape.
The trapdoor slide.
The trapdoor slide, again, always a classic. Wonderful things that you can have. And they, again, for the arch lizard, the trapdoor in my case was a trapdoor going up. Matt's was a trapdoor going down. I do want to talk about the secret door, though. It doesn't have to be a door. It could be a wall. Could be...
The rotating fireplace, man. I need it.
Oh,
Scooby-Doo,
God,
that
shit. Yeah. You go watch a couple episodes of Scooby-Doo. They've always got a secret door.
Oh, yeah. Sliding bookshelves and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely just... Basically, go
playing
Shadowrun.
Maybe they lie on the couch and the couch just kind of like sinks in and they roll down a level. Think about that. I want to build that. That'd be awesome.
That'd be cool.
A monologue and teleport. And this is one of my favorites. Now, this only works if they're in some kind of like vertical advantage. So they're overlooking the player characters. Maybe there's a river of lava in between them. Because to be honest, If the player characters can get there in like a round or two, you can't do a monologue for that.
Right.
They have to be fighting against the elements or fighting the minions. And then, you know, bad guy. I see an evil wizard with a long goatee just kind of stroking his beard. You know, so you have successfully infiltrated my underground lava caldera. And they go into the various reasons why the PCs must die.
And then
I shall leave you to your fate. And then they turn and abruptly just walk off.
Sure.
Not a care in the world.
Yep. They can either walk off or just...
ninja vanish. And you know what? They should walk off without a care in the world or vanish because they've got an underground lava caldera.
Sure.
If I had one, I wouldn't have a care in the world either.
Is it a caldera if it's underground?
Let's go with that.
Okay.
Yeah. What else do we have? You mentioned ninja vanishing.
Yeah. That's the Montebank cloak or, you know, the Batman exit for ninja vanish, right? The puff of smoke, the sound, and then...
Now, this getaway is different because it's a visual obstruction.
Right.
And then when the smoke clears or they move past the hedge that was summoned, guy's gone. Just disappeared. Where'd they go? Who knows? Got to follow the trail.
Yep. Did they invis? Did they teleport? Who knows?
Could
Did they
anything.
Just sneak?
A little bit of a little column A, a little column B. Falling to their death, quote unquote.
Right. Their death.
Maybe the player characters have knocked the bad guy off a ledge. They fall screaming into the void, into the raging river below. But they're not dead, guys. Oh, no. They had Featherfall memorized.
Yeah. They just didn't use it until they got right above the water.
So that you thought they were dead.
Yep.
Jacking out of the Matrix. That's always a fun one.
Yeah. Oh, we've got you trapped now, Laser Feelings 4300.
Yeah, they just...
Slowly...
decompress bit by bit.
Or it does the, like, turning off the really old TVs where it goes down to the little black dot and then...
Oh, yeah, like the old vacuum tube monitors and stuff. Yeah, that'd be cool. The minion battle in Fade. Now, this is a different one. This is much like the monologue, but instead of having a monologue, they just sick all the minions and then they just kind of fade into the violence.
Destroy them, my children.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's even more fun. And if you're a savvy DM, you will have the big bad evil guy look exactly like the minions and then put the helmet on so that you can't tell the difference and then shuffle around in the minions and then some of them will get away.
Sure. Cast mirror image on top of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They all cast mirror image and it's nothing. God, it's got a whole damn army of mirrors.
All right. The explosive exit.
Always a classic.
Yeah.
Toss that bomb. Again, sort of obstruction, but mostly damaging.
Yeah.
And when their eyes refocus after getting hammered with a concussion grenade, the bad guy is gone.
Or, you know, the other side of the explosive exit, which is dropping an entire ceiling on them and then just walking off down his... what's left of his side of the cavern or his side of the warehouse or hers.
We've got the hostage situation, another classic.
Oh, yeah.
Grab somebody of emotional importance to the characters. Works depending upon the emotional importance of the characters.
Yeah. Also depends on how good the characters are.
Yes, that is also true. Dock wagon contract is another great one.
Sure.
You've killed the bad guy at this point, or you thought. But then, one of the minions happens to be a cleric and drags the body off and rezzes the body. Oh, no, he's got away. Or dock wagon, literally, if you're playing Shadowrun, rolls in and they spray and pray everybody in the immediate vicinity because you're not their client. And
we're here to rescue person A.
Yeah, person A gets hooked up to all the stuff, might be coming back with some nifty cyberware and a pissed off attitude.
Absolutely. And you can do this for a fantasy game as well. If I've got a contract with a mercenary group.
Yeah, or a mage guild or guild of clerics, anything really.
Maybe I
have a contingency spell memed.
Sure. I was going to say maybe I tithe very well to my religion of choice.
Oh, very good. That's also true. Additionally, traps activate. Just straight up traps.
Yeah, just throw the lever. You got portcullises dropping and boiling oil pouring out and murder holes and
bunch of slots just
fun.
Appear. They're just ready. They got banjos and razor whips. They're ready to party. It's a great mental image. rescued by a higher power. This is, again, what you mentioned with the demon lord's hand popping out, but it could also be on the other side. Could be on the side of good. Hey, your player characters don't have to be good. They could be bad, too.
Well, not just that, but just because you're at odds with someone doesn't necessarily make them evil.
Very true.
If you're very lawful and they're very chaotic, or vice versa, like that dichotomy also can lead to straight up enemies, even if you're on the same good evil axis.
100%. And finally, we come to the bait and switch. Please explain the bait and switch, Matt, one of Matt's personal favorites here.
So here's what you do.
Okay.
You remove all of the spikes on the railroad tracks. And at the last minute, when the heroes are about to come get you, you say, well, you've got two options here. You can either save everybody on the train, or you can capture me, but you don't have time for both.
The missile has launched, so you can either stop the nuclear warhead, or you can capture little old me. What'll it be? Your friend or the dragon? Obviously, yep. The dragon. That's what I would do it.
The blood-flamed candle is burning out. Soon my master will arrive. What will you do?
So there you have it. Several methods to create bad guys getting away, reoccurring villains, as well as some fun ideas that you can use in your next game session to make a fun reoccurring villain.
Sure.
Did we miss something? Write to us. info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach me, eric@goblinscorner.com, or
me, matt@goblinscorner.com.
We're on all of the things. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube, and Twitch as
Goblins Corner,
as well as Instagram as
The Goblins Corner.
Do you like our show? Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player, YouTube, or Twitch.
Click the 5 stars and give us a review on iTunes, YouTube, or Podchaser. It feeds the hungry algorithm, and it puts our show in front of more people.
The hungry algorithm is now our reoccurring villain.
Forever reoccurring.
Until we actually get popular. Okay. That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And we'll see you next time.
Have a good night, folks.
The Goblin's Corner is written and produced by Eric Holden and Matt Staples. Show song by the mighty D20. Don't we love that guy?
Sure.
This is a Subterranean production.